grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome to English 101 and Biblical Agriculture 101. Class is now open. In the English language, there are two words that are pronounced yoke. One of them finds its way into the gospel reading today when Jesus talks about putting a yoke on a person. The Y-O-L-K is pronounced yolk, but the Y-O-L-K is what you find inside of an egg, which you can have sunny side up, scrambled, or over easy, or whatever way you would like to have that egg. That's Y-O-L-K. Y-O-K-E, yolk, which Jesus talks about, is a wooden bar. A wooden bar that goes across the back of two animals, and there's a U-shaped thing underneath it to keep the animals in place. And unless you're an Amish farmer, I don't think you use oxen or horses or cows to plow your fields. But that's what the yoke is for, to keep the animals together. And then there's the rope that goes back to the farmer, and he tells the animals to go, and they plow the fields. And so when Jesus is talking about putting a yoke on, he's talking about putting a bar across your shoulders. He says, take my yoke upon me, Jesus says. And when he talks about that, imagine a wooden bar on the back of your neck and on Jesus' neck. The only problem is that Jesus is holding you up. And that's why he says, my yoke is easy, because he is bearing most of the burden of that bar across both your necks. That is the end of English 101 and the end of biblical Farming 101. That's all for now, but you better pay attention to what I'm about to say. You see, we've got trouble. We've got trouble right here in River City. It's trouble with a capital T, and it rhymes with a P, and it stands for pool. At least that's what Professor Harold Hill said in The Music Man. We got trouble right here in River City. We could agree with Professor Harold Hill. We got trouble. We've got trouble in this world. This coronavirus, it's around and it's around, and it doesn't seem to be going away. Our society is not used to long time things. My youngest son is a nice guy. If you were to write a check in his name, say, James Riley, $50, he will accept your check. He won't refuse it. He'll take the check from you gladly. But when, you know what he does? He takes his smartphone, takes a picture of it, and the dumb thing is already put into his account at the bank. What happened to the good old days? You got into your 57 Chevy, you drove down the street, you went to the bank, you got out of the car, you went inside the bank, and you went inside the bank, and there were tellers, and you talked to the tellers, and you put your money into the, you signed the back of the check, you gave it to the teller, she put it into your account, and you got a lollipop for your kid's sister, and you got back into your car, and you went home, and you gave your kid's sister the lollipop. What happened to that? Too much time. Take a picture, it's in your account. This is the world in which we live. This is the world in which we expect things to go. And so when this coronavirus keeps sticking around, you get sick and tired of it. I want to go back to work. I want to meet with my friends. I want to go and have some fun. I want to go to the beach. I want to go on my boat. I want to do things. Somebody forgot to tell the coronavirus because it's there. The problem with the coronavirus is the human beings. You see, human beings get the coronavirus. Human beings speak, and they get together with friends. And some people have the virus, and they share it with their neighbors. They might not even know that they're sharing it with their neighbors, but it gets shared, and people get sick. And there are spikes because of Memorial Day, Will there be a spike because of the 4th of July? Only God knows. There is no vaccine. When we get the vaccine, some people say, well, wait till next year. I have trouble waiting 3 months. Now I have to wait another 7 months before I can get a vaccine. So I don't have to worry about this thing anymore. It's a long time. Not only is there trouble with this coronavirus, there is trouble in society, as you well know. All the problems with police and people being unfairly treated in the justice system. And what are we going to do about that? It's another problem. But you know what? There is an even worse problem than the one that we find in the COVID or in our society with all the unrest and all the disappointments and all the hurt and all the injustice. There's something worse than that in our world. All I have to do is take you back to this guy. It's about 2,000 years ago. His name was Paul. And Paul says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. He had a problem. For what I do is not the good I want to do, nor the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. The problem that he had, the problem that you and I have, the problem that the world has, is this thing called sin. You see, sin is what makes us want ourselves to be first and the heck with everyone else. The sin is what makes us disregard safety cautions and think of ourselves only. It is sin, and sin leads to death. For my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another work in my members of my body, waging war against my law of my mind, making a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? It is a body of death because it's something that affects all of us. Do you know what? Paul also said, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus came and he experienced all the injustice, all the restlessness, all the unrest, all the things that go on in our world. Jesus experienced that. He experienced an unjust death. He experienced restlessness. He did that because he loved us. He did that because he wanted to take the burdens that we have and take them upon himself on the cross and die for all that sin so that he could say, come to me and I will give you rest. We look for rest. We look for rest in this thing or that thing or even maybe another person. But the way to find rest is to look to Jesus. That's the only way we will find true rest, because he is the one who has gone through all that evil, through all that sin, through all that injustice, through all that unrest. Jesus went through that before us. The date was November 19th, 1863. I don't know if any of you were there on that day, November 19th, 1863. Now, Pastor Andy, I know, he's pretty well preserved for his age, but whether he was there on that day as a witness, I do not know. But it was November 19th, 1863. There are 7 million people who live in New York City. There are 17,000 people who live in Talmadge, Ohio. In this little town, there are only 7,000 people. Oh, by the way, did you know that in Pennsylvania, little towns are called boroughs? Well, in this little borough, there are only 7,000 people. Unfortunately, there was a battle there, and over 40,000 people died in that battle. 40,000 people died. And so it was decided to have a soldier's national cemetery to be prepared and to be inaugurated at that borough. And so they decided to do that. And since it was the soldier's national cemetery, protocol said that it was appropriate to invite the commander-in-chief to attend the dedication ceremony, which they did. And the commander-in-chief said, yeah, I think I'll go. So he got on the train, and when he's on the train, he wrote down some notes about what he's going to say. The main speaker at the dedication of the cemetery spoke for almost 2 hours. Then they asked the commander-in-chief to say a few words. And this is what President Abraham Lincoln said on that day. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. You notice he said that all men are created equal, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Do black lives matter? Yes, they do. Do red lives matter? Yes, they do. Do yellow lives matter? Yes, they do. Do white lives matter? Yes, they do. There's a children's song. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He also loves the big children of the world. He loved them so much that he came down on this earth to take the injustice, the unrest, all that sin. The sin that is out there, the sin that is in here, he took it upon himself on that cross and he died for it. So all people are important. And God has called you and me to show his love to every person we meet, whether they're red, yellow, black, or white, because all are precious in his sight. And believe me, I know that there are some people who are harder to love than others. There may be one at work, maybe your neighbor down the street who always is always complaining about you. Some people are not easy to love. But you know what? That fellow Jesus, he even said, Matthew 5:44, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to them who hate you. You see, the Father, Jesus says, sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. And so if you are going to be my followers, you are going to show your love to everyone. Because everyone Jesus died for. And even though they're the rottenest person you know, even that guy in the mirror, God loves that person so much that he died for them, and he gives us his love. He gives us his rest. And by the grace of God, you and I can go and share that kindness, that rest, that peace with people around us. And maybe they'll ask you about it. And then you can tell them about how Jesus comes and gives us rest. May God give us the words to say, the actions to do, and the people to bless as we live our lives. Amen.